Coffee House Shots is sponsored by NatWest Group, principal banking partner of the Global Climate Change Summit, COP26, in Glasgow later this year. NatWest is helping its customers reduce their carbon emissions by joining forces with organisations like Microsoft, identifying energy-saving methods for small and medium enterprises. Find out more about their approach to climate change at natwestgroup.com.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Cindy Yu and I'm joined by Kate Andrews and Fraser Nelson. So later today we'll be hearing from the Prime Minister on what off the roadmap will be confirmed and the brave new future we're going to be going into the rest of this year. But what has already been confirmed overnight is that mass testing will be one of the key pillars of the new normal in quotation marks. Kate, can you tell us about what the government has already announced?
So it's been announced that everybody in England will be offered 2 rapid COVID tests, lateral flow tests a week, and that you get those results back very quickly. Now, if you have a positive, you are then asked to self-isolate along with the rest of your family or household, and then you apply for a PCR test, which is thought to be a more thorough test. Now, if you take that test and the result comes back negative, then your quarantine comes to an end. If it comes back positive, then you are thought to be positive with coronavirus, and you go through the normal quarantine process. Now, this is important for several reasons. First of all, whilst the idea here is that it's going to try to target clusters of outbreaks, potentially even try to look for new variants, I think in reality, a lot of this is a step towards a vaccine passport style system, because we know that by the time we get to summer, whilst every adult is going to be offered their first jab, and we're still on track for that, many millions of people will not have had their second jab. And if the idea is that in order to access major parts of society, you have to prove your vaccination status or your health status, the idea is that you're going to need a test to do that. So I think they're putting into motion how they might go about doing that. And then people are going to raise questions around false positives. Now, it's thought that these lateral flow tests, which aren't as reliable as PCRs, 1 in every 1,000 tests, maybe ever so slightly less according to the government, will produce a false positive. False positives aren't really a problem when a lot of people have the virus, but they become an increasing problem when the virus is very much not in circulation. It means you're going to have a lot of people who are healthy that are getting a positive result. Now, far more people will be getting the accurate result, but it's still going to be quite a chunk of people that are getting false positives. So there are question marks as to how that's going to work. It's estimated by the BBC that of the 4.2 million lateral flow tests that have been taken by school children and people attending colleges in the last week, from the 18th to the 24th of March, 4,502 came back with a positive result, and not all of those will definitely be positive. So, you know, that's a chunk of people that will be impacted by the policy.
Fraser, obviously the government has been talking about mass testing for, I mean, almost a year now, but it does seem strange that this is coming at a time when we are easing up, the vaccine rollout is going quite well. Why now the tests ramp up?
It's a good question, and there is not yet a convincing answer. This is the Moonshots project, the mass testing, and this was an idea that the Prime Minister was working on several months ago, at a time where it was thought the vaccine would never arrive. Now, if the vaccine would never arrive, they thought, okay, why don't we have mass testing? Why don't we see if we can all spit in a bucket, or we can all do our individual tests and try to zap new cases as they arrive in that way? Now, we thought that had all sort of died down, because when the vaccine came along, a very different way out of COVID was laid open to us. That, first of all, that we would vaccinate all of those at risk of dying. That's already happened. So all the at-risk groups have been covered. So that means 99% of those who would be likely to die from COVID have already had the vaccine. So we've already downgraded the virus. But now the government's going further. It wants all adults to have the vaccine. That means there is a reasonable chance of herd immunity. Once upon a time, we were told that would be the end of it. But now Matt Hancock, the health secretary, has changed his language. When James Forsyth and I interviewed him in January, he was very optimistic about the vaccine, saying, look, soon we're going to have covered all of those in serious risk of illness, so we can reopen very quickly. Now he's changed his language. He's saying reclaiming our lost freedoms and getting back to normal hinges on us all getting tested regularly. Now, he wasn't saying in January that it hinges on you getting tested regularly. We were told in January that getting back to normal depends on the vaccine. So now we're seeing both of them happening. Again, Cindy, you ask why? It's really not clear why. Britain's cases and deaths have fallen faster than Israel's, and Israel has vaccinated all of its population, unlike us. There is no real reason to believe the health service is capable of being overwhelmed now if the vaccines work in a way that we're told that they do. So why would you also need the moonshot testing that was intended as a scheme which would work if the vaccines didn't, to be done on top of the vaccines? And even more, we have the health secretary saying that unless we get this mass testing, then our lost freedoms will not be reclaimed. So this is yet another moving of the goalposts without much in the way of explanation. And I do find it all quite concerning.
Kate, the weekend papers were full of talk about the 70-strong group of MPs who are going to vote against the government's suggestions on vaccine passports and that they may not be able to pass this. Would something like mass testing need parliamentary approval, or is this something that's just within the government's power to do? And if so, do you think that there could be political backlash to it?
Well, at the moment, it doesn't look like you will be mandated to take these tests. It will be guidance. You ship them. You don't actually have to stick the swab up your nose. It's your choice. But a lot of people will be arguing that, well, in reality, if they're linked to a vaccine passport, and if the many millions of people who don't have their first or second jab are going to be asked to show a negative COVID status instead, then you might as well be making it mandatory. And that is where I think you're going to see this vote, is around something like vaccine passports. It has been hinted anyway that there could either be a sunset clause, but certainly that MPs might have their say on them. And this brings us to Fraser's column last Friday for the Daily Telegraph about whether or not the Labour leader, Keir Starmer, is actually going to get behind this policy or not. Now, he suggested to the Telegraph that vaccine passports were un-British. The idea of showing your papers just wasn't really something that would be normalised in the UK. However, it was later clarified by the party that actually he meant down the road when things are looking good. Perhaps that's when it would feel a bit un-British to have them. So you could certainly be looking at a situation where the Prime Minister is challenged, certainly within his own party, on this concept. But whether or not he'd have enough Labour votes to help get him over the line is another question. And it is just a reminder of the extent to which COVID has sort of changed party lines in many ways, that you have those that have zero appetite for risk, those that have a higher appetite for risk, but a lot of people in the middle just saying, what exactly is the end point here? The rules seem to keep changing, the guidance keeps changing, you keep kicking that can down the road, and when are we actually going to finally stop? I think more and more MPs are starting to fall into that middle category.
Almost got Keir Starmer pinned down on a position there. But Fraser, I mean, it's a difficult position for all politicians, presumably, because we've seen throughout this pandemic that the public has been much more cautious than a lot of the liberal-minded MPs in Westminster. So where does the public stand on this and how significant is that? I mean, I was speaking to my friends, for example, I know that they are much more welcoming of vaccine passports and ideas of mass testing if it means they get into pubs and gigs.
Yeah, but that is as you would expect. I mean, vaccine passports, if you say to your average person, would you take a vaccine passport if it helps you back to normality? They would say, yes, absolutely. But of course, if you phrase the question a little differently, do you think you should need a vaccine passport to go to the pub when, in fact, mass vaccination means it's perfectly safe for you to go to the pub and lead your normal life without having to present any ID card? If you ask the question that way, then people might well give a different answer. And the argument against identity cards is not for the majority, it's to protect the minority. There is a whole bunch of people in this country who quite rightly have got very good views of not carrying photo ID around with them. In this country, for example, you can vote without any photo ID. Now, a lot of other countries think that's strange, but we've got this British principle that those who don't have photo ID are as entitled to be a full part of our society as those who do have photo ID, even if they're in the minority. And after a pandemic, there is a natural human instinct for people to think, look, I've had enough of this. I'm very happy to take a vaccine passport, and I don't really care if this causes a problem for a minority who don't like this, who are unlikely to get it.
But hold on, Fraser. Isn't the point about mass testing that is another option for people who don't want to get vaccinated, who can't provide that vaccine certificate? They don't have to get vaccinated if they don't want to. They can just get a test regularly. And this mass testing method means that it will be free, easily accessible. You can get it from pharmacies. So in some ways, it's actually giving the vaccine hesitant another option to go back into society.
Yes, that's certainly one thing that can be said for lateral flow tests, that for whatever reason, if you're vaccine hesitant, all you need to do is have these two tests a week, and then you can continue to lead your life as a normal citizen. But then again, you've got to look at the potential for these lateral flow tests to be used as a tool of harassment, to say that if you don't get a vaccine, then you're going to have to take these two tests a week and continue doing so. It wouldn't surprise me if, for example, vaccine passports are effectively used in the workplace and employers like me are told, Fraser, if you want to get your staff back together again in the way that you did without social distancing, you as an employer are going to have to make sure that they all persuade you or prove to you that they are COVID secure, and you're going to have to ask about their health status before you let them in the door of your office. I have to say that makes me deeply uncomfortable. I think it's none of my concern what the health status, what the immunostatus is of my colleagues. But I can see a system where that would say, okay, if say if Kate Andrews here doesn't want the vaccine, of course Kate's pro-vaccine, but say she didn't, then I would be in the position where I'd be intruding. Okay, Kate, you haven't had your vaccine. I want you to take this test. Oh, you didn't take the test. Well, in that case, I'm not sure you can come into the office. That is a scenario that worries me, because I would not dream as an employer of asking any of my colleagues about their health status right now. I don't think that should change. Now, the thing is, Cindy, that if this were genuinely the only way that we would get back to an open society, I'd try to be more open-minded about it. But I can't see what was wrong with the original herd immunity argument, because we've made such progress with the vaccine. Something like 54% of the country now have got antibodies, and that was only 10% back in December. So that's rising all the time. Very soon, we're going to have so many people with antibodies that you simply will not need to have these things imposed on people. The government will not need to be dishing out lateral flow tests. So I can't quite see what was wrong with the original argument that if you vaccinate enough people, then society can go back to normal, and then employers will have no business asking their colleagues what their immunostatus is. So a lot of these things, these concerns, are about what might happen, not about what the government has said will happen. All we're told today is that these lateral flow tests will be optional. Anybody who wants them, they can have them. I do worry, though, that we're seeing yet another piece of apparatus coming in to create a biosecurity state, and that what's optional today might be a lot less optional tomorrow and might even be compulsory further down the road, because that's the route we've seen so far. Something is ruled out, then it's considered, then it's brought in. Matt Hancock tells us vaccine means freedom in January. He tells us lateral flow means freedom now in April. And you wonder what they're going to be saying in August.
Fraser and Kate, thanks very much. And we'll be back with a second episode later today when we have a better idea of what the government will be announcing. Thanks for listening, and join us then.